side of the pond. He is DJ Schweitzer. I am Jeremy Lance. We are in the same room again, unlike last week.
Yeah. We had grand designs of actually recording that show in the van.
On the road.
On the road.
But, like, literally. On the, as we drove back, or as we either drove back to Cincinnati or just drove back from the stadium. We didn't do that.
No.
The audio would have been somehow actually worse than it was this past week.
Yeah.
Being on the phone.
And even amazingly, somehow worse than what we normally go through.
Yeah.
Many of you know this, but we actually do this microphone-less. We're just talking into a laptop.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's done the job.
It works.
We know what we are at this point, and that's not necessarily something that's holding us back, but we did know that based off of the audio testing that I was doing in the back of the van while we were heading back from Atlanta, it just was not something that was worth you guys actually having to listen to. So that was what ended up happening last week. This week, we are a day later because, well, work just got in the way for both of us.
Yeah, I think, I mean, obviously Sunday was super crazy because it was the home opener for FC Cincinnati. So that's were there working. So I'm sure you didn't get home till fairly late in the evening.
That's correct.
I was in the stands with not enough clothes on. I didn't have a coat.
Okay.
Which I needed.
It's not like you went naked or anything.
No.
Okay,
that's good. I didn't go like putty and like painted up like my chest. And
okay.
You know, you got to support the team.
That's right.
No, so I was frozen, so I just wanted to go home and warm up.
Yeah, and then last night you were frozen once again with...
Yeah, last night you were like, hey, you ready to go? I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm stuck at work in Dayton all night. Got to stay in here and watch the games.
It's all right.
Handout shirts.
You know, if nothing else, it made it easier for me to go to bed at a not reasonable hour, so...
Sounds lovely.
Yeah, it is lovely. But we are back. We're in the same room, sitting in the living room again, enjoying a delicious emergency drinking beer.
Yeah, this is you bought this at the Publix right next to my parents' house on our way out of Georgia.
Yeah, literally Monday morning at like 9 a.m. rolling into Publix. And
yeah, I actually had to text my mom like, "Hey, can we buy beer at 9 a.m.?"
Well, we did, and we're drinking it now, and it's a delicious emergency drinking beer as well, which is a great name, if nothing else. So we are drinking Georgia beer, sitting in Ohio, and we're ready to talk about a bunch of European football, but as well, American soccer as well. It was a big weekend here in Cincinnati.
Yeah, just a bit. But before we do that, we got to go through the most painful thing ever.
Yeah. Everyone's favorite part of the podcast. It was a up and down week for both of us. Both of us had mixed results.
Okay.
Let's start in the Premier League. I improved 7 places. I'm now in 27th place.
That's pretty decent. League.
That's almost respectable. So
we're kind of in like the final stretch here.
Yeah. I will blow it. I will do the lasagna thing. And end up probably falling back down towards the bottom of the bottom of the first page. You fell 2 places to 92nd, so you're at the other end of the standing, just
also bottling
heading the other direction. Jonathan Gill, 3rd straight show. Looks like he's starting to pull ahead a little bit. So there's your Premier League update. MLS update. We picked up a few more participants in the league, and that actually ended up seeing a new leader take the top as well. Friedman's Robo Ball is the new leader, unseating Jackson Stone FC after just 1 week on the top.
These names make no sense.
Yeah, I'm trying to make sense of fantasy names anymore. It's just a silly proposition. I fell 6 places to 53rd. You improved 5 places to 50th, so we're in the same neck of the woods, but you're now the one on the ups in the MLS side of things.
This will totally last.
Way to go, guy. So there is your fantasy update, and that allows us to get over. And I think we should start in England because there's 2 competitions we had to hit this week.
Sure was.
We'll start with that little itty-bitty baby match day that we had in the Premier League.
Just a slice of match day for the Premier League. And for the most part, not many big clubs actually participating in this mini slice.
No, and the lone, I would say, true big club that was actually participating, was yours. And it's a rather forgettable evening for the Blues.
Yeah, Chelsea are garbage.
Yeah, and when I say the Blues, your Blues, not the Everton Blues.
No.
Which actually had a great night.
Good evening for them.
Yeah.
As they win at home, beating Chelsea 2-0.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually really just hoping to hear that Sarri got fired this week.
It did not happen, and it's looking like that probably isn't going to happen at this point, right?
Think about it, though. This Everton loss was pretty bad.
Yeah,
it was 2-0. They looked abject during all of it. Really doesn't even rank in our worst losses of the season.
No.
Like, we've had way bigger blowouts,
mm-hmm.
and we've lost to much worse clubs.
Yeah, you absolutely have. I get the feeling, though, that they're going to stick it out with Sarri, which seems a little weird to me, given it's, like, the only change they're likely going to be able to make this summer, given that transfer ban seems increasingly likely.
I don't know. Apparently, we might actually be able to get our appeal heard again. I don't know.
You just never know with these things.
I think everyone's hopeful now that PSG won their case in the CAS.
So the Court of Arbitration Sport, for those not familiar. So you're telling me that you're just feeling better about that because of the PSG ruling?
Somewhat, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Silver linings.
I don't know. We got it. Well, and the other silver lining is if we don't, right? Mm-hmm. If we are given this ban, does it mean that the young kids that have a lot of promise,
mm-hmm.
we actually have to play them?
Yeah. You know, someone like Loftus-Cheek.
Maybe, Callum Hudson-Odoi.
Yeah.
Depending on who else is outgoing, mm-hmm. Could definitely mean someone like Pulisic finds himself thrust into the forefront earlier than expected.
Like, he's going to have to make a difference for this club if they're going to improve in any capacity at this point.
Yeah, he's our big signing.
Yeah.
For the next year.
That is what it is for your half of the Blues. Of course, Everton getting the win, Gylfi Sigurdsson and Richarlison on the goals on that end. So, big results for that side. Very up and down year for them as well. They've had a few of these games sprinkled in where they've looked like, hey, they're actually... Everton could be okay again. And
sure.
They've had other days where they've looked kind of Chelsea-ish. So, bad result for you guys. Takes the pressure off of Spurs a little bit in one positional sense.
Happy to help.
So I really appreciate that, if nothing else. Let's get to a few of these other games, because the only other big side that was really involved was Liverpool.
Right. Who squeak out a win. I had to grab one late to beat... Checking my notes. Fulham.
Yeah, it is Fulham. Fulham, who are almost assuredly going down for
them. That would have been a disaster.
Yeah.
I mean, they dropped points in this one. That would have almost sealed it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that probably would have put the title almost out of reach, given the way that City have been playing lately. It was weird, too, that Liverpool did jump out to an early lead in this as well. It was Mane who opened the scoring, and then things kind of got a little wild. Ryan Babel capitalizing on a big mistake from Virgil van Dijk, only to see, it was a James Milner penalty in the 81st minute that was actually the difference in kind of erasing these things. So... Fulham, again, not getting the points that they need, and Liverpool somehow eking this out and keeping themselves in the title race as things currently stand. They are back on top of the table.
Right.
But they now have that match in hand.
Sure, yeah. City, obviously one of the many clubs not playing,
because
they were involved in FA Cup affairs, which we can, I guess, do you want to hop to now? Is there anything else?
Let's just read through a couple of these other ones.
Okay, yeah, Bournemouth, Newcastle 2-2.
Yeah.
Leicester beat Burnley. Burnley's kind of just still, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a question mark of a season right there.
Yeah, absolutely. Leicester 2, they had a red card super earlier on.
Is this the Broggy's first win with Leicester?
I think it was the second.
Okay.
It was the second one. But, yeah, it was a big one for the big Raj. Burnley continuing to struggle. This loss puts them in a really precarious situation at the moment. They are just outside of the drop zone, 2 points ahead of Cardiff. So it is getting a little hairy for them down at the bottom half of the table. Other results, the only one that I found to be really interesting was West Ham outlasting Huddersfield 4-3. Huddersfield, again, like just can't do anything to get points after they threw up three goals. This is a side.
They had a 3-1 lead going all the way into like the final 20 minutes of this match. I
mean, they've only scored 18 goals so far this season.
Yeah, they're not good.
They scored three of them in this match and still couldn't muster a win. And it just kind of tells you the type of season that they're kind of having. They just completely run out of steam.
My boy Chicharito getting two goals. Late on.
Yeah, doing big things for the Hammers.
I'm rocking my Mexico shirt today.
Is that why you did that?
No, it was just clean.
Okay, there you go. There's that. So there is your Premier League update for the weekend. Let's stay in England and deal with these FA Cup quarterfinals. All Premier League sides minus Swansea involved in this thing at this point, and Millwall.
Don't forget Millwall.
Yeah, they're easy to forget. But let's start with one of the all Premier League matchups in this. Watford getting a big 2-1 win over Crystal Palace. Watford kind of doing their thing still to this point.
Yeah, they're kind of the one team in this, them and Brighton, where you're like, oh wow, you're kind of still hanging around despite the fact that you're actually, I don't know, pretty meh.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I don't know. Watford has had a real up and down season. You talk about Everton having points in the season where you're like, oh man, they look great.
Mm-hmm.
Watford have had like some legitimate moments this season where they like looked phenomenal.
Yeah,
and looked like a team that was going to cause some real problems. So for some of the title contenders that were needing to go in and get 3 points and not making it easy for them.
Yeah. No, it's a side that just tend to get results and grind them out against teams that are kind of in their bracket, have the opportunity to kind of jump out and do some stuff from time to time, but often come up a bit short when it comes to facing some of the bigger teams out there. Let's stay on the Saturday matches as well. Manchester City getting an expected win over Swansea, but it wasn't easy for them. Actually, it turned out that the Swans jumped out to an early 2-0 lead. I think it was Matt Grimes and Selena who actually had the earlier goals, and everyone was starting to, say, oh, this is the quadruple right here. It's out the door. And then everyone kind of forgot, like, hey, there's still 60 minutes in this match left.
Yeah.
And this is still literally the most expensively constructed team of all time. And City did what City will do and pulled 3 back starting in about the 70th minute.
But let's talk about this here. Like, freaking the decision made by the FA to say, we're only going to equip, we're going to have VAR in the FA Cup, but we're only going to equip Premier League stadiums for this.
They made a huge deal about announcing that VAR would be involved in the league this year, and it's been, in the tournament, and it's just been entirely bastardized.
Yeah.
This
was a terrible moment.
I'm all for VAR on the whole. One, because the drama of it's funny, but two, because it provides a valuable service most of the time in correcting calls that are missed and things that shouldn't happen that squeak by.
So, but we have a match that's a marquee, a quarterfinal match,
mm-hmm.
but it's taking place at a championship side in Swansea, so they don't have it equipped, so there is no VAR. And then we get into these later stages where Swansea, thought they had this one.
Mm-hmm.
And they give up this penalty where Carter Vickers is called for a foul on Aguero when replay shows, as clear as possible that he got the ball
right, and
cleanly took it right off of Aguero's foot. And then what they had a goal called offside later on that shouldn't have. It should have counted. That it did not look like it was offside at all.
I guess the thing that I find most confusing about this is the fact that this isn't like goal line technology where it forces the club to like spend a bunch of extra money.
Right. You don't have to get like the whole like eagle eye thing to like.
This is just cameras.
Yeah. Have a guy.
That are mostly already in the stadium.
Have a guy in a booth just looking at the cameras. And if, on goals and on penalty calls, just have them. Give it a once-over.
I also don't understand why there's not, like, a centralized location for these things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why does there have to be a team of people in the stadium?
I don't get that.
Part of it, too. Like, you think of these, smaller grounds, like a League One ground, or, think of even the USL. They don't necessarily have a lot of space to necessarily put in a whole VAR team and keep them separate from the environment and from
everything. Well, and this is, you know, it's different than some of the leagues we, you know, what we have here in some of our leagues in America, right? So in the NHL, when they review something like this, when they go to their, essentially their version of VAR, it's actually not done at the rink.
Right.
It's actually done at a centralized, there's a group of guys in an office in New York City at the NHL headquarters that are sitting there reviewing that one.
Right.
Like same thing, Major League Baseball was doing that.
Doesn't the NFL have a central, like, kind of league rules office?
Yeah, they can kind of, so they can review it there in-house, and then they can, if they want to, like, kick it up the chain, basically.
And it's not like this is going to add any significant amount of time onto the process either. I feel like if you're going to have it in some grounds,
right,
you should probably have it in
the, every the ground. Inconsistency of we're only going to equip Premier League.
It's just not. It's like, not fair. Stupid. It's not fair to either team that would play to ground that doesn't have it when there are other games in the very same rounds that do have it, and it's just an arbitrarily decided decision. And we're not talking about like a stadium issue with Swansea. Like Swansea have a very nice, relatively new stadium that could accommodate VAR without any issue.
Right.
Why is this not happening?
There's no reason why it wouldn't happen.
We're making a big deal about this, of course, because of the offside call that was involved as well, as well as the penalty. So
that penalty at Cardiff Vickers was called for. That was asinine.
Yeah. I mean, I could see why the referee got it wrong in the moment.
Right.
It was a very glancing touch on the ball, but when you watch the replay, it was clear. It was
so clear that,
he got
nothing but ball.
Love that as a, you know, instantly Spurs Twitter boiling down about how bad Carter Vickers was when they were clearly not watching the game. Super frustrating. So City outlast Swansea both by skill and a bit of luck on the VAR list side of things. Let's move on to the match that we're actually watching a replay of right now. Wolves getting a big upset win over Manchester United. I'm going to go. I know, did you watch this match in real time? I don't know if you.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So I didn't. I watched it later on, knowing the result, but hadn't really read anything on it. I think this is the first time where I've seen Solskjaer actually outmanaged. Like, tactically, Wolves looked superior for a majority of the match, despite the fact that Manchester United dictated things. Wolves had them all along in this thing, and it really didn't seem like there was any solution that Solskjaer could come up with. And if there are people who are saying, like, Solskjaer is the wrong guy for the job, this was the...
That's a quick change of tune, though.
Yeah, I mean, it is. But there are plenty of fans who have said it all along and kind of stood in that realm. You know, his performances speak for themselves. I think you could certainly say, you know, he's earned it on merit at this point.
Sure.
But I think it was on the Football Ramble I was listening to today, and they brought up a really good point. Being not Mourinho isn't actually a strategy. And it can kind of be valuable for you for a while, but if
runs its course,
yeah. If you're not actually able to do good tactical things, don't have that in your wheelhouse, that's going to run out of steam eventually. And we're starting.
Right, you're
going
to be found out at this level if all you're really bringing to the table is like just kind of some varsity enthusiasm, and you know, hey, I'm not that guy.
Yeah, I'm club legend. You know, that type of stuff. And I, you know, we're starting to see a couple of these performances from United. They had their first league loss not long ago.
Yeah, back-to-back losses. Mm-hmm. They lose in the FA Cup and they lose last week to Arsenal.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Looking to be a bit of a stumble here.
Cracks in the foundation.
Yes. Yeah. See how long it lasts. See how bad it gets.
Look, I'm all for Ole staying. I want him to stay. Like he's. He's an enjoyable manager to have around.
Sure, yeah.
So, then the only other one that we've not touched on yet was the one that I tried to forget. That was Millwall getting knocked out by Brighton. The only
on Pens, right?
Yeah, it was Pens. It was 2-2 in regulation, 4-5 on that front. I'll be honest, I didn't watch a lick of this one.
I was in transit.
But I think we're all supposed to hate Millwall just because of Green Street Hooligans. Right. So there we go.
I mean, they killed that guy.
Mm-hmm. That's those dicks. To be fair, they killed that kid.
That's true.
Isn't that how it all started?
Yeah, no. They killed Tommy's kid there.
Don't ever want to kill Tommy's kid. He will get you.
They
back.
Didn't mean to.
I know
he got trampled, right?
It was an accident. It was an accident, but he didn't think so. Ugh. Here we are.
What a movie.
What a
movie. Right?
It really
have
is.
Have we done our breakdown on this?
We haven't. We should do a whole
Where do
show.
You stand? Like, just, let's just, where do All you right. stand on this movie?
We're going to just rip this Band-Aid off.
Yeah.
It was a good, if you're not acquainted with English, outdated English fan trends.
Right.
It was a good introduction to
this
it.
This was a movie that came out, like, mid-2000s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, played up a soccer hooligan culture that hadn't existed for, like, at least 15
years. It was actually kind of, like, almost eradicated at that
yeah.
point. Now, Millwall, to be fair,
right.
was one of the last bastions of this and kind of remain as such. Your club is kind of one of those, too.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Not to mention the other issues your fan base
Listen,
holds
we got,
within it.
We got a lot going on.
But that said...
We got to pick our battles.
It was kind of funny how it really highlighted this and kind of glorified, like, hooliganism to a certain
yeah.
extent. Kind of made it sound pure and, you know, it's just a necessary part of life. And we all know how untrue those statements are. So I kind of didn't enjoy that aspect of it. It fetishized that kind of supporter
sure.
approach. And I think there are plenty of American fan bases that took that a little too
no.
much to heart.
What?
I mean, I don't have to say any names, you know, or I could say some names. I don't know.
Go ahead and say all the names.
All of them.
I mean, let's go down the list.
Detroit.
Orlando. Those guys, those possible actual fascists at NYCFC.
Oh yeah, there's that. you know, those Providence City guys. I don't know. They put off that vibe.
They got the skulls, you know.
They do. Anyone with skulls.
Skulls,
in it,
man.
Just the skulls. But I think that did have a negative impact on American supporter culture in a little bit of respects. The other side of it is a bunch of really bad fake English accents. That's the other side of it that I think is almost
unavoidable.
Was there
a bunch of fake English
yeah,
accents?
Yeah, there was a few people that were faking some Cockney in there.
That's
and it was... Poor Cockney. I'm not going to try to do any Cockney because I'm not capable of it. And so were some of the people that were in that movie. What about you? I just sat here and
kinda
bashed
like,
the shit out of it.
I actually really like the movie.
I enjoyed it. It's enjoyable,
like even for the trash it is. Like it's kind of a guilty pleasure.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But in the early 2000s when this movie came out and like I was watching it, like there was something awesome about it because it was just, you know, we forget where we're at now
mm-hmm.
compared to then, like just how little of just that, you know, just, you know,
soccer
culture that you could get your hands on around.
Oh,
here.
There just wasn't much of it at all.
So to have this movie that was enjoyable and that centered all around it,
mm-hmm.
like that was awesome.
I feel like we could do a whole show probably on soccer movies.
We should just do like a mystery. We should just do a Mystery Science Theater on like one of these.
That's a brilliant idea.
We
actually.
Just watch it, and then you just hit play, and then hit play on the podcast, and we'll just kind of commentate.
Can we get a nice shot behind us
of us just
of
yeah
us just
a silhouette
with the silhouettes? I'd be all for that.
Sounds good.
New show coming to you in the quasi distant future. what were we talking about to get us here?
Millwall.
Yeah,
they
Millwall.
Lost.
Yeah, they did lose.
So now we set up the semifinal we all saw coming.
Mm-hmm.
City got the easy team.
Of they course
Brighton,
they did.
And then the two teams that had the exact same logo, just so Spider-Man pointing at each other gif.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Wolves and Watford.
Two teams start with W's. They are remarkably similar clubs
yeah.
in some
oh, yeah,
respects.
Yeah.
You know, that team that's kind of punching above its weight, even though Wolves are kind of a big club. They had this attacking verb. You kind of like them, you know. They're just like the likable underdogs.
They're both super likable.
Mm-hmm.
They both rock the yellow.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I think player wise, I think for me, Wolves has the.
I think Wolves are the superior side.
I mean, Troy Deeney is Troy Deeney.
Yeah,
and he has nearly killed a man.
May have spent some time in prison. No, I would agree with you. I think Wolves are probably the superior side on paper. I think you could even go as far as saying, given that they have a semifinal draw that's winnable.
Right. I mean,
they got to be looking at this going, hey, we could win a trophy here.
And you know what? They deserve it because, like, they've had such a good season.
Oh, it's been great.
We talk about, you know, I think at the beginning of the season, we had two teams that we were like, oh, man, look at all the stuff they did. And it worked out for one, and it didn't for other.
Yeah, that's right.
Fulham Wolves both just went huge overhaul on some of the pieces they brought in. For Fulham, it absolutely didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And for Wolves, it's just been a fun product.
You have to say that Wolves, too, have looked like a team that had a plan from the beginning, whereas Fulham were like, they were just picking up pieces.
Right.
And Wolves seemed like they were assembling a side. It's easy to forget this Wolves side was promoted this season. They've played so well this year that they feel like a Premier League mainstay. Now, they've been up recently.
Right.
It makes it easy to make that kind of line drawn. But this is a fixture that's really intriguing. I'm looking forward to watching it. And if I'm going to watch one of the semifinals, this is the one it's going to be.
But one is 90 minutes away from a cup final. Mm-hmm. And the other one's on, like, their third manager of the season.
Yeah, right. That's, makes for loads of interesting storylines. Yeah. So there is your FA Cup update. Enjoy those. I think the next round is like in April, so we've got a little bit of a wait.
Sure.
Can't
wait.
It's going to be a minute. Let's move over to the continent where a few English sides were still in action, or at least we know where they're going to be sitting.
Right. So we recorded this time last week, so we already saw those Tuesday matches. We already knew that City blew Schalke's doors off, and we knew that Juve, on the back of a hat trick from Ronaldo, got past Madrid. Giant groin thrust shot,
he got fined.
Yeah, just as Simeone did. Hey, if you're gonna do the same thing that he did back to him, do remember that he got busted for it.
Yeah, that's right. We saw a couple other results that transpired the next day. One that, be honest, this has been one of the lone bright spots for me in the last week or so. But Spurs getting in the advance.
Yeah, Spurs move on. But the big ones that we didn't get to, Barcelona, shockingly, blow past Lyon. And then on the road, Liverpool getting the 3-1 win and advancing.
Yeah.
In a match that, I mean, for the most part, dominated.
I mean, they looked the better side. This Bayern team is definitely in a transitional stage at the moment.
This is a team that's only in first place because the team that was in first place
has totally shit
to just bed. Absolutely just imploded on themselves.
Yeah. It has drawn out a lot of comments, too, from, like, Bayern legends and ranks kind of saying, like, this is unacceptable by the club. Like, we clearly need to go in a new direction. So it's an interesting time there, both Ribery and
that was just Götze. That's what he had to say.
Yeah. Right. But both Ribery and Robin, I think at least Robin, are going to be probably on the way out, at Bayern.
What? They're both, I mean, how old are those guys?
I don't even know. I mean,
Robin was playing on a Chelsea side where everybody else he was playing with has already retired.
Yeah. He's always looked a little bit older, though, because he's been balding literally since those days.
It has.
Yeah, I mean, it does. I'm not passing this judgment.
This is a thing.
I'm not passing judgment here, bald man sitting in the room taking offense to what I'm saying here.
He called out a fact, and I said, that's a fact.
That's accurate, and I don't want to talk anymore about it. But yeah, it certainly has kind of brought out some interesting takes on things. So interesting to see where Bayern end up, especially after the end of this season.
So we do know the draw. We know who is playing who. Some tasty ones. The one that my coworkers predicted, Tottenham hosting Manchester City.
Yeah, this was a really
this
annoying
is not
draw.
What
this
you
was,
wanted.
It was literally
this is not what you wanted at
the
all.
The exact, I think I said on last week's show, if there's one team I don't want, it's Manchester City. And, well, shit, we got them. Super annoying. I am unhappy about this. We are definitely not advancing in this tie. Like, this team is not cutting it right now. And against that team who is cutting everyone.
This also just screams like Kyle Walker scores against you.
He is totally going to score against us. It's going to be awful. He's going to do it. And this game's going to be played at the new stadium, right?
Yeah, it's going to be one of the
opening matches. Yeah, I think it's going to be one or two before it, but he's going to literally like score the winner at the new White Hart Lane,
and it's going to be the worst.
He has been awful lately too, which is what makes this even worse. He is just going to come and be awful and score some tremendous goal, and it's going to sink us in the Champions League. So yeah, that's super annoying. And let's talk about the other ones.
Yeah, Liverpool get the good draw, or at least the draw that I think everyone else was wanting. Get Porto.
Mm-hmm.
A good Porto side, but a side that I think everyone thinks that is probably the most beatable in this group at this point.
Yeah, I would probably say so.
Juve and Ajax is going to be one of the other ones, and then...
Well, I just want to say real quick, Juve Ajax is like a classic European matchup. Like, that feels like a game that I watched in like...
1994?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm all for that one. It's good to have Ajax back this far. And then I would say that's probably the marquee matchup of the round.
And only like the two most recognizable sports clubs in the world.
Yeah.
In Barcelona and Manchester United. The two of the biggest brands in sports.
Yeah, I would say the only other one that could challenge that, obviously, in the soccer ranks would be Madrid.
Right.
This is a battle of the titans. Neither side kind of at their full powers right now, which makes it interesting. United in this little dip. Barcelona suffering through a bit of an injury crisis and a bit of a transition of their own. It's going to be a pretty fun one, and look, all of these ties are intriguing in some respects. So we're at the stage of this competition where everything's fun, and I'm legitimately excited for them to actually come around.
Well, gotta wait till mid-April for that.
Damn it!
That's Europe. That's England. That's all of that. Let's go stateside.
Yeah, and I think we're gonna focus the stateside stuff today. On our hometown, there were other games, right. But it's early
Wayne
season.
Wayne Rooney had a hat trick.
It was a hell.
Nick Romano had to retire after the game, I think.
He really, literally forced him into retirement, it felt like. Rooney did look great. We also saw a ton of stuff about his contract and how he gets paid like $10,000 per goal and assist. And he had assist in this match as well.
Game.
So he made, on top of what he gets paid every day anyway, he got paid $40,000 for that match. Nice little night out.
Yeah. Which he'll definitely take someone up on.
Yeah, that he will. Someone said that it gets you out a lot of the airport fines. But yeah, let's focus in on what arguably ended up being the MLS story of the weekend. And I say that only because everyone keeps telling me that this was the MLS story of the weekend.
Stole the show, stole the weekend.
Yeah. FC Cincinnati played its first home match in Major League Soccer.
So the first MLS match took place in the city of Cincinnati.
That was pretty cool.
Yep.
That was a pretty cool night.
It's pretty unreal.
We've had some really cool nights here in Cincinnati the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
You think back the Crystal Palace match in the first season.
Open really Cup stands run. Out.
The Open Cup run with Columbus and Chicago wins, not to mention nearly doing against New York. You had some big ones last year as well.
Right.
This one fell up there with those other really big games and had its own kind of unique energy to it as well.
It did. It was like just a culmination of like just something everyone had been pouring their heart and soul in the city. Everyone's been supporting this club with this being the goal, right? The goal being,
let's get MLS to Cincinnati.
Let's get MLS to Cincinnati. And it was just kind of the celebration of like, it's it. We're here. Like, this is an MLS match. We're in MLS. Look at these baller kits we got going on. Packed out. Capacity crowd.
It was packed.
It was funny. The guys behind me were like, hey, remember when like the first couple years where they had to have tarps all over like sections?
Mm-hmm.
Bye bye.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think we'll be seeing much of the tarps this season.
No, not too many.
Particularly after the result that FC Cincinnati managed. Keep in mind, this came after their humiliating 4-1 loss to open the season at Seattle. Then we saw them make great strides to when we were down in Atlanta at Mercedes-Benz Stadium to watch them get a 1-1 draw against the reigning champs. And then to make matters worse, this hellish start to life in MLS, they then hosted for their first ever inaugural MLS home match the Portland Timbers, who were the reigning runners up,
right, in the league. Well, I mean, they started the season off playing three of the last, what, five champions?
Yeah. I mean, that's a rough start.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
And getting a 3-0 win at home over Portland, 4 points from the first three matches. If you told me that before the season, I would have told you were crazy.
Right.
And they did it in emphatic fashion. I think we were talking about this before the show. I think Sincere catching people at the moment at the right time.
Right. So far, I mean, yes. Like we saw them get a point against an Atlanta side that seemed very just unsure of themselves in a lot of ways.
Still trying to find themselves after this transition. Yeah. You know, they've got this Portland side. This is their third match away from home. They're not playing a home match until June.
I had no idea until like this week that big renovation was going on there.
Yeah, that's right. They're putting luxury seats and an expansion of other seating as well. So they're dealing with that on top.
Are they getting to like where, like, cause I've heard that at Providence Park, like there's a lot of seats cause it was originally configured for a baseball stadium.
Yeah, that's right.
That are just terrible sight lines.
Yeah. So I think this is to help rectify that, as well as expand capacity at one of the hardest tickets to get in MLS. But that said, they were also without Diego Chara.
Right. He flipped a guy in the air.
Yeah. The silliest red card I can think of in some time. And I think his absence was really, really missed. This was the first match where FC Cincinnati had it pretty damn close on possession. Mm-hmm. And Chara is a guy who is a disruptor in midfield, who's going to break up play and transition things. And they didn't have that.
No, they didn't have that.
Very clear that they lacked
it. And on the other end of things, though, Cincinnati did have it. They had guys like Ochoa and Bertone that just kind of sat there and just really just created this black hole in the middle of the pitch.
Yeah, this is the first time this season where I think they've looked tremendously well organized. Mm-hmm. The Atlanta game was kind of slapstick at times.
Yeah, I think definitely like defensively they had a lot more swell. Everything was an improvement from the Seattle match.
That's very true.
The bar was set super low then.
Yeah.
But from an organizational standpoint, like, I mean, we had a nice tactical cam angle from our rafter seats.
Yeah.
So we could see them kind of trying to keep their shape most of the match. And they did. They did a really good job in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And then – but this week it wasn't just like we have our shape. Like they just – they had it, their game plan nailed down and it worked.
Yeah, they imposed their own style of play at times through this one. Keeping things on field for just a little bit here, let's talk a bit about the change that we saw forced at halftime for FC Cincinnati. Fernando Adi going down injured with an ankle injury.
Yeah, one down pretty close to where actually I was sitting. Got a pretty good look at it.
He said at training today that he is going to be likely out this weekend. Adding to the list of players who won't be available this weekend as well for international duty, and we'll get to that in a moment. But that forced FCC to bring on Darren Maddox, the speedy Jamaican, up top, and it just completely transformed the side. They went from a team that, while they were possessing well.
Mm-hmm. And already had a lead.
To a team that looked threatening.
Like, right.
Regularly threatening. And I think the issue with Adi is that they're trying to play through him so often, and it's just not working the way that the team is currently constructed. I think they're desperately missing a 10 when they're playing Adi. But when Adi was out and they had a faster forward that they didn't have to play to feet to necessarily every time, they looked kind of good.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, this is a question that comes up pretty often, is Adi the answer? And I'm not saying he's not.
No.
But for those who are naysayers, they got a pretty big argument this weekend.
Sure. I think my question of Adi has not been, is he the answer as much as for what he is supposed to be doing, there does need to be a level of production, which just has never actually existed with him.
Yeah.
I mean, he played half a season in the USL. And we all thought going into that, this guy's going to eat this league alive.
And while he looked good.
Yeah, and he had his moments, and he had some goals. He definitely didn't dominate.
Yeah, I mean, FC Cincinnati were not a team in the USL that played with a 10. Because they didn't really have a natural 10. They played some people in some kind of 10-ish roles, Corbin Bone, Nazmi Al-Badawi, but not really a natural out-and-out number 10. And Adi has expressed his frustration at not having that type of player playing behind him. And he thinks in order to get the most out of him, he needs an additional piece. And I totally agree with him. But the problem is now is that once he was gone and they weren't playing that style, it made them look like they actually could be a productive side attacking-wise. Yeah. Now, a really good defensively organized team is going to sniff that out a little bit better.
Sure.
And I don't think Portland are there yet. But look, as far as results go.
Right.
They don't get much better than that one.
Pretty tasty. Some tasty goals, too. Yeah, awesome that it was the captain that scores the first goal at home.
Yep.
That back heel flick by Alan Cruz.
Tasty stuff, wasn't it? It
was pretty awesome. Just see the creativity from that the young kid like that to make that play.
Mm-hmm.
To have the confidence in himself of like, well, heck, I'm just going to...
We'll go ahead and do this.
Yeah.
It was funny. I was talking with another guy, Adam Maloney, your several times stand-in back in the sick days. But Adam was saying, like, you know, where was he even going to go with that ball when he received it? Kind of was a deflected shot from Lamar that kind of fell to him.
Right. He was kind of essentially running away.
He was kind of running away from the goal.
Yeah.
And it kind of fell to him. And there were defenders all around him. And I'm serious in saying, I think the only option he had to either keep possession or shoot was the back heel that he chose. And it sent the entire defense the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
Goalkeeper included. And
that was like the point where like just Portland was like, and we're screwed.
Yeah, there's
like you can no just see that any mojo, any wind that was in their sails was just gone at that point. Obviously, FC Cincinnati capitalizes and scores just a few minutes later to make it 3-0. Where you know it's Plon that gets it in after. I mean, they just had just chaos in the box of just causing all sorts of problems for Portland's back line there.
Yeah.
It was an exciting win.
It was an exciting win. Now, I think there are two questions we have to ask
coming
out of this.
All right. Bring that wet blanket on.
Now, let's start with the positive one. The first one is, how big of a deal do you think that win in the home opener was for the club?
I think it doesn't make or break the club's trajectory or anything.
Agreed.
I don't think.
Totally agreed.
Like I still think even if they didn't win that match or if they drew that match or whatever, you know, there was enough, and we'll get into it. There was enough from that match, just surrounding that match, that made a big enough statement as far as the club went and just their standing in U.S. soccer and their standing in the league. But I think the fact that it did, like, any worry that there would be any loss of luster to this you know inaugural start, don't have to worry about it.
Yeah,
because it went gangbusters. We got what we wanted.
I think this is a total not just a momentum builder from the team. I think the team will take a lot from this.
Sure,
I think
from a morale standpoint, huge.
But what I think this is really valuable for from the club standpoint is this was a momentum builder within the city, right? Everyone, like, this was the event in Cincinnati this weekend.
So this was crazy. I was talking about this with some guys the other day. You know, Sunday was championship Sunday in college basketball.
Right.
Where you had all these conference championships games, including the University of Cincinnati playing and winning a conference championship game on that Sunday. And then you had the selection Sunday that evening. This is a college basketball town.
Oh, yeah.
And I heard nobody talking about college basketball.
I mean, it couldn't have been more quiet. Yeah.
And the Xavier people were very happy that no one was talking
that
was about
it. That was perfectly fine. But it even seemed like UC, being at UC, it wasn't even a part of the conversation, really.
Yeah, we were on campus.
And you wouldn't even know that that was going down. So it was really cool in that respect. I think that was neat. But the win, I think, is so perfect. That huge crowd that turned out, the energy. We haven't even talked about that picture yet.
That march.
The march picture that everyone has seen. I've been on two national shows this week, and literally everyone wants to talk about that picture, and there's a reason for it.
It's mind-blowing.
It looks Photoshopped, and I can assure you it is not. It's one of those things that, as someone who has been involved in this and all these kind of really cool things that we've seen transpire, that is, it takes your breath away when you see that type of stuff.
BBC World News mm-hmm. did a whole feature on the inaugural match and obviously pointed a lot of their focus on just like the fan mm-hmm. Turnout and that march in particular. And the BBC reporter that did that feature and was here in Cincinnati was tweeting about kind of his experience. And he talked about that march. And this is a guy who's covered soccer all over the planet mm-hmm. in all of the big leagues in Europe. And he said that march right there was like nothing he had ever been a part of in his life.
Yeah. It's truly astounding. In an exchange that I had with Andrew Wybie from MLS Digital, who was out for the game filming things and kind of taking advantage of the home opener for MLS click sakes, he kind of just said, like, it was absolutely mind-blowing. It changed their perception of what things could be like
yeah.
for MLS, for American soccer. And, you know, Don Garber was saying this at halftime. Up in the press box when he did a quick talk to the media up there. And he said, you know, this isn't even a city that we were – it wasn't even on our radar.
No.
Like we didn't
I don't know. That pamphlet in 1994 had it on there.
Well, that's true. It did. It also listed, like, every market that had, like, a million people around it. But that was never really anything that was considered. And now we have this behemoth. And it's just a – getting that type of win in this particular scenario, I think sets the club up in a position that, look, even if they have a down year, people are still going to be super jazzed about it. Like, I'll be honest, I was concerned going into this year that if this team starts losing, what does that do to the fan base?
If this team comes out and just starts laying an egg early and often.
I have no concern about the people who are hardcore diehards.
Right.
At all. Like, they're going to be here.
This is a fickle fan city.
But big crowds aren't built on diehards. Right. They're built on casual fans that sure. turn out for the event. And like you said, this town is super fickle. Like yeah. the Reds were good a couple years ago for uh-huh. a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And then they got really bad fast. And now
no one's to at those games.
Like, I've been to games last season where there might have been, and that's a big stadium, like 3,000 people in the house.
Yeah. I think seats like 40 something.
Yeah. And it's, you don't even need to say anything about the Bengals to know what that's like. If this team started losing, I had legitimate concerns that would kind of scare off, not a huge amount, but a noticeable amount of the casual fans.
Yeah.
I have no concern at all now. Like, that type of win will energize and carry this team.
Because not only was it a win, not only was it a good win, but it also was like it was an entertaining win.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it held energy. And I think that was – we've talked about this, and I've talked about this on some of the interviews I've done. There is a fear – and I say this as a Chelsea fan. There is a fear that when you play the style of football that many suspect FC Cincinnati is going to try to do and kind of how they were built to do, you're kind of talking some boring football.
Yeah. Yeah.
That match wasn't boring.
No, it wasn't at all. And it gives you hope, if nothing else. I mean, at bare minimum, that's what you took from that match. Mm-hmm. And I think hope can be enough to drag this stuff forward and get us into at least year two. So
if this team is able to go out and do thereabouts what they did on Sunday. Kind of play their game, strike when they can.
Yeah.
Live on set pieces. You know, just kind of just shut things down defensively.
Mm-hmm.
Swallow up that midfield. You know, they might be better than we thought.
Yeah.
You know, they might be able to win a lot more games than one would expect.
Yeah, I mean, I was saying today, I was on with Glenn Crooks and his new podcast, and what I said to him was, is playoffs are still the bar. Like, I think that's the bar they're going to be measured by this mm-hmm. year. And I went from the mindset before the season of, yeah, they could probably squeeze in here.
Yeah.
You know, it's in the realm of possibility.
There's enough bad teams in the East.
That it could happen. But after how things have gone the last 2 weeks, I'm going, oh, okay, like, maybe that actually feels like a realistic possibility. It's not just a possibility anymore. It's one that seems almost likely. Now, it is early days.
Early days.
And we mentioned earlier, people are still finding their feet all over the league.
Oh, my God. I mean, we've had this league, the biggest dynasty they ever had was an LA Galaxy side that would not even start trying until, like, mid-June.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. One thing before we wrap up, we've done a lot of talking about our experiences. I wanted to reach out to our listeners to see what they thought of the match. And we have a lot of people that replied in with some great answers as to how they felt the experience was and what their favorite part of the night was. Our good buddy, Chad Hollingsworth, we'll start with him. He wasn't actually at the match. He was out in Vegas.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think his daughter was playing in a tournament or showcase or something.
She was playing in a showcase out there, apparently had a good one as well. But he was in the airport, and he said, running into a guy in a Timber shirt in Las Vegas and exchanging those knowing looks. That was his favorite part of the evening. Our good buddy Mike from the 321 pod, the new Columbus/Cincinnati-based podcast that's popped up here.
Love those guys.
Good guys. But Mike offered up. His favorite part was he missed two goals because he was eating corn dogs.
Attaboy.
Yeah, that's right. He said it was his favorite part because it felt like 30,000 people were really proud of him slamming down two corn dogs. So
I feel like he would get like two caught up in the moment of the people cheering on him mm-hmm. that he would eat too fast and like either like
I could see him
accidentally that. Stab himself in the back of the throat with a stick or choking on it.
To be fair, I've seen Mike cry over an Arsenal FA Cup win, so any of these things are possible.
Corn dogs and FA Cups, man.
That's right. They go together hand in hand. Jono offered up, I think the following morning when he and Mike Matt, I'm going to butcher Mike's last name. Sorry, Mike. But he and Mike ran into an older gentleman who saw our FCC gear, approached us, and started chatting about the game. Something I couldn't imagine 10 years ago. He was genuinely excited, chatting about our defense, and I'm just thinking, what the fuck? And, of course, he'd said, what the fuck, with the world's best gif.
Tom DeLong.
Yeah, from the Foo Fighters video.
Was that that's the First Date. Is that First Date? What's First Date music video.
Oh, that's right. You're right. I'm butchering that here. Blink. Sorry.
It's Blink 182. It's Tom DeLonge. Tom DeLonge.
Yeah.
Made famous in the Hillary emails.
Yes. Yeah. This is not a political podcast. Let's stay clear of that one.
No. He was just emailing about extraterrestrials.
That's right. Rupesh Sharma, he offered up, my favorite moment was the crew's back heel. I think that was a big one for most people. And, of course, the march. This was his first march, so the first one. You'll never forget your first march.
Yeah, I was bummed out I missed the march. I marched opening day last year. Mm-hmm. I marched.
The march is its own thing.
It is.
It's a Cincy bucket list thing.
If you're listening and you maybe you go to matches, maybe you don't go to matches, maybe you plan on going to matches, just do the march once and just go to Mecklenburg,
mm-hmm.
hang out,
and do the whole thing.
Do the whole march. And trust me, it's a long way walk. Longer than you thought it's going to be.
It's a mile. It is legitimately a mile.
I parked farther away than I was like three blocks past Mecklenburg is where I ended up parking.
That's called
extra. So I kind of did my own march by myself.
It's called extra march is what that is. Gage Magoto offered up, I wasn't there, but per tradition, I have to answer the question.
That was an answer?
That was his answer. Okay. Steven, also from the 321 pod, offered up, Almost the entire stadium standing the whole game, or the entire stadium chanting FCC after the first goal were his favorite moments.
I was old man in that situation. Like, once the match, like, everyone's standing at the introduction and standing at the national anthem. Okay, gotcha, gotcha.
Yeah.
Standing at the opening whistle. And then I'm kind of looking around like, can I sit down now?
I would like to sit down.
I'm an old man.
My legs hurt.
I'm good enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, literally, halftime came, and I was like, oh, God.
Well, it's to kind of to your sit point. Now. You were saying, you know, about the march, like, just try it once. You and I are very adamant, like, the Bailey's cool. I love the Bailey.
Yeah.
It's fun to go in and experience the Bailey.
I've done it once. It was awesome. Mm-hmm. I'll probably do it again. Mm-hmm. Love to do it again. But, like, it's not something, like, every week I'm like, ooh.
We're not the type that likes to partake in that on the regular. And we go to games for different things. And that's right. Fine. But the march is one of those things that, like, even if, like, supportery type stuff isn't your deal, like, go do it one time because it's worth it from that perspective.
It's definitely something to kind of check off the list.
Yeah. Patrick Hall offered up the entire stadium, was on fire for 180 minutes before, during, and after the match, was electric. Thomas D. Puckett offered an actual first-hand description of the march. He said about halfway up the hill to the Bearcat statue, which is about the angle that most of those pictures are taken from.
Right. And that's where that's where it kind of collects, mm-hmm. and then they kind of do a big little rah, rah, rah,
and then they go into the stadium. He said, halfway up the hill to the Bearcat statue and seeing the guy in front of me turn around, eyes open wide, and just dropping, oh, shit. It caused me to turn and see the absolutely packed street full of orange and blue, marching and singing as far as I could see. He also offered up Or Cruz's back heel, which was, again, great. And then I think this one from Mike Ackley, I think, is probably the best one. The simple fact that I was there to see the first game in MLS. And I think that's what a lot of people left.
Yeah.
With that impression was like, man, I just got to see some cool history happen.
Like, when we're old dudes and our grandkids are, you know, wanting to watch soccer, wanting to do some soccer, we're like, yeah, I was there. I was there at that first match.
Yeah. I can say that about the Crew game too, which I think is kind of a
cool, that's pretty sweet.
Cool, fun one there.
Yeah, so. I mean, that's I took my son to the second ever FC Cincinnati home match.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's also the only sporting event I took him to because it was a disaster. But he was a disaster.
Yeah,
And he just also doesn't really like sports.
Yeah,
but yeah, like I'll always have like, hey, bud, like you went to one of the first matches ever.
Mm-hmm.
Like your first sporting event was the second. The first Lou City match,
mm-hmm.
For FC Cincinnati ever.
That was a good one too.
Yeah.
So, thanks everyone for participating. Lots of cool moments that were out there. Looking forward to many more to come here in Cincinnati.
Winners and wankers.
Winners and wankers. I've done a bit of talking. Why don't you start things off for us?
My winner, kind of sticking with the theme, and a guy who actually was in attendance for the match on Sunday, Tyler Gibson, former FC Cincinnati player, scored on Friday his first goal since 2016.
It's been a minute.
Obviously, a guy who's battled a lot of injury issues.
He's also not what you would call a goal scorer.
No, not really.
Not his role. Definitely a setup guy.
But yeah, scoring a goal in a big. Big win for Indy 11. Also ran into their owner. He was at the FC Cincinnati match.
Physically
ran into him as we were, you know, kind of trying to move through the million people in the concourse there.
Huh. How about that?
So good. Both of them were there.
Yeah.
But Tyler Gibson finally getting on the score sheet a couple years later. It was a Rio OKC is who he scored last for.
Whew, that has been a minute. I ran into Tyler down on the field after the match. It was cool.
Awesome.
He's still friends with a bunch of the guys on the team. He was really excited to be there to experience the moment as well. And, you know, looks fondly back at his time in Cincinnati, despite the fact that he spent a lot of it on the bench. So, and laid up injured. So, kudos to Tyler. Big day for him getting the goal. My winner this week. I went with Valencia because they had an absolutely ridiculous response to yet another DC Comics lawsuit over their bat logo. If you've not heard about this before, Valencia and DC Comics have literally had this back and forth. It's really just been DC Comics going after Valencia saying, like, hey, we don't like your bat. And Valencia are like, what the shit? We've had our bat longer. And they basically provided that reply to the latest lawsuit that DC have filed against them. When this team was already playing with a bat on their chest, people in the United States were still chasing bisons.
Fair enough.
Yeah. There isn't much bison chasing happening.
I don't have too much comment on this as I work for a company who's just hoping that DC doesn't know that we exist.
Yeah, given that the whole Gotham thing.
Yeah, we're looking at a rebrand for such reasons here in the near future.
Ooh, man, that sounds like some hot tip right there. What about your wanker this week?
My wanker is... I don't know why this happened. I don't know what it was accomplishing. That MLS fashion show that Adidas put on...
I came so close to doing this one.
Was such a... just a disaster. It was offensive to both soccer fans and people that actually like fashion.
Yeah. Because if you actually like...
It flew in the face of both of us.
Yeah. So I tweeted this out. Like, I'm someone who's into fashion. Like, I'm sitting here wearing, like, weird shoes with socks and my pants are rolled up, and anyone who's kind of followed me knows that that's kind of something that I'm into a little bit. I'm into fashion. I'm really into soccer. This should have been something that I was into.
Right. When I first heard of it, I was like, oh, I bet DJ probably enjoyed this. And then I saw like what was actually rolling down that catwalk, and I was like, oh, I don't think anyone was into this.
No. You mentioned like the fashion people were outraged by this. Hell yeah, they were, because it was such the limited like approach to fashion.
So here's what you got, guys. We just have here just piles of MLS jerseys, and you're just gonna somehow turn that into stuff.
Yeah, stuff that people will never wear.
Right. Like there was multiple outfits where it was just like a skirt made out of just a handful of jerseys.
Yeah.
It just didn't make sense.
It was really...
It was so bad. What was going to be accomplished?
It felt like... And my wife's been a big fan of Project Runway in the past.
Sure.
Obviously, the fashion-oriented show where...
Was this just an episode of that?
That's what I keep waiting for. The only reason I don't think it's actually that is because they brought in some fairly big-name designers to do it.
Who were drunk?
Or they just were like, whatever.
We're
already going to get paid for this, so whatever. I think all it really has functionally produced is a crap load of memes that will never die. Like, one of the FC Cincinnati ones, they turned the jersey into like a ninja mask.
Yeah.
I don't know. I love the aim, right? Like, I love the idea of it. But in practical...
The execution
the
was
practical
not
execution, it
not
felt,
good.
It felt a bit off. Yeah, I came desperately close to painting this one as well.
And here's just me kind of being the fuddy-duddy of that, this whole thing. Like,
sure.
I'm not even that into fashion to where I'm just like, even if this was like kind of good, what are we ultimately accomplishing? Like, what is actually being achieved?
Two people who are into fashion are now fans of MLS.
They're like, oh man, that was sweet.
Yeah.
I want to buy that. Oh, it's not for sale? Okay, cool.
Got it. No one wants to buy any of those things. My wanker is also MLS jersey related, and I actually went with Fanatics, who have been absolutely butchering MLS jersey orders. And it's not been like widespread, but it's been problematic
enough spread
that it's making news. So we've seen here in Cincinnati is people have been waiting for their
this just happened
UFC
today.
Cincinnati jerseys. People have been getting notices that even if you ordered way back in February when this thing was unveiled, you may not be getting your jersey until like May, which is completely unacceptable when you go to a local Dick's and there are jerseys by the hundreds hanging on the racks. So,
which I think a lot of people are doing that. They're just canceling that order and just
rolling over to
the Dick's Sporting Goods and grabbing one that's at a rack literally 10 feet into the store.
Yeah.
At all the stores in the area.
But not only are they running into these type of supply chain issues, but they're also running into some horrendous spelling errors, and not just spelling errors, but like wrong team errors. So
right.
We here in Cincinnati have seen multiple Watson jerseys instead of Kendall Waston,
yeah.
as his name actually is. And then the one that we saw today, this is the best one yet.
This is insane.
A Montreal fan who ordered a Montreal.
It was multiple. It was like a whole
slew. It was multiples. Yeah, that's right. Ordering Piatti Montreal jerseys and getting Piatti Vancouver jerseys. It's kind of like,
If Piatti transfers to Vancouver this season, everyone's going to lose. That would be insane.
What if that's what this is about?
Fanatics knew.
Jeez, oh, why did they know? But just absolutely incredible that a company that has such a stranglehold on the U.S. sports market to a certain extent would be making errors of that. I mean, it's just unbelievably large errors.
Yeah. If that transfer happens, I'm making shirts that say Piatti move was an inside job.
Oh, man, we should. We should absolutely should. I bet Cincy shirts would make it for us right now.
They'll pretty much make anything.
Yeah, there's evidence there. So let's bring an end to this week's show on that note. Thanks for listening. And if you want to get a hold of us, please do. As you know, we'll get you now on the show. Contact at wrongsidethepond is the email address. You can get Jeremy at Jeremy Lance on Twitter. I am at Wrong Side of Pond on Twitter. We'll be talking to you guys sometime next week.
I'm going to go to sleep now.
That sounds good. Right here on this couch.
Sure.
We can cuddle up.
All right.
All right, guys.
What an ending.
See ya.
Bye. I got so much more to give tonight.